Well, good morning. If you don't know me, my name is Ethan, and I have the privilege and honor to get to share a lesson with you guys this morning. The lesson I want to share with you is not of my own creation. The high school teens went to Lawrence last weekend for a conference called Strong and Courageous. Everyone except the teens was excited for that. Okay. There's a theme when it comes to this stuff. What's going on? All right. Anyways, Bobby Ritter shared throughout the weekend, and the theme was called to be strong and courageous. And he talked about God's call for every person to take part in the invitation to join his kingdom and become strong and courageous in our lives. So I'm riding on his coattails. I took his lesson from last Sunday and did a little bit of remix to it, you know. And I want to share that with you guys this morning. Amen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we come before you this morning and we are blessed to be here. We're blessed that we get to have your word. We're blessed that we get to be together, God, and that you speak to us in a way that helps us to become strong and courageous. Father, we know that it's only from you that we can truly be strong and bold and courageous in our lives, God. We pray that's what we focus on this morning. God, help us to tear away and break away every inkling of worldliness from our minds this morning. Help us to just be open to you and your word and your spirit alone, Father. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. 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 So we're going to combine the sermon and communion. It's one of those situations like 1 + 1 = 3. So it might go a little bit longer. Amen. So, I'm controlling it this morning. So I want to share with you guys what we talked about last Sunday at the teen service at the Free State Church of Christ. Is that a cool name? Free State Church of Christ in Lawrence. God calls us to be fulfilled by Him alone. And to abandon our vices in life, to abandon the sin in our lives that we try to find fulfillment in. It's after we repent from those things and after we turn to Him that He guides us and transforms us into confident and faithful beings. Amen? So a couple questions for you this morning. Are you feasting and are you fasting? Okay. Are you feasting and are you fasting? Open up your Bibles to Isaiah 55. That's going to be our main text for this morning. I'm taking a note out of Gary Nealon's book. I got about 1,000 scriptures to share with you guys this morning. You guys like the pain. Let's do it. Oh, I should open to Isaiah as well. Isaiah 55. Okay, I have it on the screen for you as well. It says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me." Hey, we know that probably says Shema, right? "Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare." God calls us to feast on His goodness and His kingdom and what His kingdom has to offer. Amen. Is that a wonderful invitation or what? The first mental image I had, sorry, you're going to have to geek out with me a little bit. Harry Potter. All right. Not getting to the whole witchcraft thing, but what I do want to talk about is they have this thing in there called the Great Hall. Yes. All the students sit down to eat at the tables. They can eat however much they want until they are satisfied. And guess what happens when that bowl of chicken legs is empty? It just refills. Nice. What happens to when all the drinks or whatever are empty? It just refills. It's never ending. It's as much as you want to eat. All right? Now, I don't think I could make it through a week in that school.
Yeah.
I would just probably like eat myself to death. That's not the point, though. In a similar fashion, God's kingdom is a never-ending feast. Amen. But it's not of food. It's of spiritual nourishment.
Right.
His goodness never runs out. God invites us, if we go back to that text in Isaiah 55, it says God invites everyone. It says everyone. Come all. He invites everyone to feast in his kingdom. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 2. All right,
come on, brother.
1 Timothy 2:4. And talks about, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. God wants all people to come to him. God wants all people to come and feast in his kingdom. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that you are a part of that all people? Or do you believe that's everyone else except me?
Great question.
Or do you believe, hey, I'm included in that, but it's everyone except those people? Do you really believe that God's invitation is for everyone? You can say, yeah, of course I do. I'm woke. It's 2018. It's for everyone. Who are the people that you are friends? Who do you associate with in life? Who do you not associate with in life? The way we live our lives and the people we interact with kind of reveals how we view God's invitation to all people. Jesus delved into dining with sinners. Okay? The outcasts of society.
That's right.
We ought to do the same. Isaiah 55 also says we cannot buy God's gifts. They can only be given. If you go to Ephesians 2:8. Come on, you got to flip. I want to hear you guys flip with me. Or click. My bad. I did say it's 2018, didn't I? Ephesians 2:8. It's by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God.
Amen.
We cannot buy God's gift of the kingdom.
No,
you can try all day and you can try for your entire life. But it's not going to work. There's nothing you can do to earn it. To feast and really participate in God's kingdom is to totally surrender and be dependent on him. Amen? And God offers us the best of life to feast on. Go to John 4:32. I don't got a lot to say. I want the Bible to speak for itself. Amen. John 4. We should be super familiar with John 4 at this point, right? John 4:32. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. God offers us the best of life to feast on. He's got food that we know nothing about. The food and the blessings and the spiritual nourishment that God has to offer us in his kingdom, it's like nothing the world offers. It's nothing. The world wishes it could touch what God can give us. And Jesus recognized that and he knew that and he lived that way. And the people closest to him, the people that spent every day with him, the people that were steeped in the Torah, that knew the Bible mostly by memory, still could not grasp that idea. How about for us today? Do we understand that there is food that we may not know anything about, that we need to draw near to God to get that food? God offers us the best of lives to feast on. The best of life. The second point, we are called to fast. So we are called to feast in God's kingdom, to participate, and to get to be part of a wonderful, wonderful table filled with all that we need. But in Isaiah 55, we're gonna go back here. Isaiah 55, I'm going to read where we left off, amen? And then we're going to focus on verses 6 through 7. So it says, give ear and come to me, listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples and a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations. You will not, or you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he's endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. God invites us to feast in his kingdom, but he also invites us to fast. Amen. Biblical fasting is about giving up something to recognize that you need to be dependent on God and how fragile of a person that you are. Okay? I like the language in here. It says abandon. As to abandon your ways, to abandon the sin in your life, to abandon those thoughts, those tapes that play over and over. God is calling us to fast from the sin in our lives permanently. I got an illustration I want to share with you guys. I'm a teacher, and I recognize the importance it is for my daughter to know how to read from an early age. So I didn't know what else to start with. She's too young for Harry Potter, I think. Too young for Lord of the Rings. So Chronicles of Narnia, I thought would be a good starting point. And we're doing it. So we were reading the other night, and we came across, man, this stuff is deep, by the way. It's really cool. There's a passage I want to share with you. You see the picture up here? This is book one, The Magician's Nephew is what it's called. And they are arriving. They go into this world, and they see Narnia being created. They see Aslan, who is the lion in the middle, creating this world, and he's singing it. He's singing the world into creation. Okay? And so there's two kids, and there's a couple adults there, and they all have very different personalities. There's this character called Uncle Andrew, and he's the magician, and he's not a good guy, and he's super, super skeptical. So I'm going to read you a passage from this book, all right? All right? Awesome. Story time. Bear with me. Ever since the animals had first appeared, Uncle Andrew had been shrinking further and further back into the thicket. He watched them very hard, of course, but he really wasn't interested in seeing what they were doing, only in seeing whether they were going to make a rush at him. Like the witch, he was dreadfully practical. He simply didn't notice that Aslan was choosing one pair out of every kind of beast. All he was, or thought he was a lot of dangerous wild animals walking vaguely about. And he kept on wondering why the other animals didn't run away from the big lion. When the great moment came and the beast spoke, he missed the whole point for a rather interesting reason. When the lion had first begun singing, long ago when it was still quite dark, he had realized that the noise was a song, and he had disliked that song very much. It made him think and feel things he did not want to think and feel. Then, when the sun rose and he saw that the singer was a lion, he tried his hardest to make believe it wasn't singing and had never been singing, only roaring as any lion might in the zoo in our own world. Of course, it can't really have been singing, he thought. I must have imagined it. I've been letting my nerves get out of order. Who's ever heard of a lion singing? And the longer, more beautifully the lion sang, the harder Uncle Andrew tried to make himself believe that he could hear nothing but roaring. Now the trouble about trying to make yourself stupider is that you often succeed. When Uncle Andrew did, he soon did hear nothing but roaring in Aslan's song. Soon he couldn't have heard anything else, even if he had wanted to. And when at last the lion spoke and said, "Narnia, awake," he didn't hear any words. He only heard a snarl. And when the beast spoke in answer, he only heard barkings, growlings, bangs, and howlings. And when they laughed, well, you can imagine. That was worse for Uncle Andrew than anything that had happened yet. Such a horrid, bloodthirsty din of hungry and angry brutes he had never heard in his life. Then, to his utter rage and horror, he saw the other three humans actually walking out into the open to meet the animals. I'm going to stop there. I want to keep going, but I'll stop there. You guys get the picture, right? It's funny, in a little bit, the animals went to go, they find him, and they're like, whoa, who is this? So they approach him, and he runs away from them, and they start chasing him. He thinks they're trying to kill him. They just want to meet him. The point of this, read it. It's awesome. The Magician's Nephew. There are things in life. There's sin that has corrupted our thinking to the point where we just simply cannot see the goodness around us. That we simply cannot see God working. We cannot hear God speaking. We can't hear God's people speaking to us. We project onto them the things that have happened in our past. We project to them the sin that we do not want to let go of.
Yeah, come on.
And we become blind and deaf to it. Are you an Uncle Andrew this morning? God calls us to fast from the sin in our lives for this purpose. Now, the cool thing that Isaiah 55 shares with us, it says, God will have mercy on all who turn to him. We know that from John 3:16. Do we need to turn there? Amen. God offers mercy to anyone that comes to him. We cannot feast on the goodness of God and the junk food of the world. If we go to God's table to feed from him, to get good stuff from him, we can't eat if we got our hands clenched firmly around the sin in our lives, the things we don't want. If you got a Twinkie in one hand and a Butterfinger in the other, and God's got a whole table of good stuff set out for you, you need to let it go. You need to get rid of it. You cannot feast at the table of God if you're sneaking midnight snacks at home and you got a full belly. Then you show up to the table in the morning for breakfast and you're like, I'm not really hungry. What would your mama tell you? Right? Now, this is all metaphorical, right?
Right.
Second Corinthians 6:14, I'll just reference it, talks about how light and darkness cannot have fellowship together. Long term, you cannot feast at the table of God and feast on the things the world has to offer.
Yeah.
You will have to let one go. And what one's going to sustain you, a Twinkie or a full meal?
Yeah.
I was going to say a salad. Not everyone's a fan of salad. You know what's good for you, though? That's a good metaphor, too, huh? People need to experience God's goodness before they can turn from their ways. Now, I was thinking about this, and I prayed about this. Sometimes I believe, and sometimes I've done this as well, people come, and people want to feast at the table, but they're a little too dirty or messy. We say, you got to go get cleaned up first. You can't sit at this table unless you take care of yourself. Go. Go wash up, then come back. I think we do that to people.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we do that to ourselves.
Yeah.
But think of it this way. How can people know about God's goodness unless they feast a little bit?
Yeah.
Unless they get a taste. You don't need to worry about that. Let them come and feast. Do you realize what kind of people were in the early church?
I know, right?
Yeah.
Thieves.
Yeah.
Ex-convicts.
Yeah.
Sexual immorality of all kinds. You could talk about homosexuality. You could talk about incest of the worst kinds.
Yeah.
In the church, did they not do the sin study first? Go ahead and laugh. People need to come and feast at the table before they know that, okay, I should let go of this Twinkie.
Wow.
This isn't good for me. Let God work them out.
Right.
What do you need to do? Set a place for them.
Right.
Come sit here next to me. You with me?
Come on, brother. Good stuff.
We can't expect people to leave their old way of life before they can begin feasting at the table of God. And it's not our place to tell them no. After we feasted and after we fasted from the sin in our lives, then God can transform us to be strong and courageous.
Amen.
Let's go back to Isaiah 55 still. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Let's let God be God, amen? As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty. And I will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I have sent it. You don't got to force anything. God will do what God will do. The word never comes back empty. Just be there. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper. Instead of the briars, the myrtle will grow. And this will be for the Lord's renown and glory, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. After we've responded to God's call, it's His word that transforms us to make us bold and confident. I think a lot of us can do a really good job. I don't want to necessarily throw names or books out there. You could talk about all sorts of leadership books or inspirational stories you've heard. We can do a really good job at mimicking boldness and courage and strength. Amen? The world has plenty of people who are really good at doing that in ways that aren't sustainable. But I'm pretty sure the Bible somewhere says the wrath of man will never bring about the righteousness of God, the glory of God. Amen? To truly be strong and courageous in the way that we are meant to be, we can only get that from God. It's God's word that transforms us. And we know that in 2 Corinthians 5:17, we are described as new human beings. We are a new people, new creations. And it's God who empowers us to be confident. What gives you confidence? What gives you confidence? Is it the name brand shoes? Is it the number of people that you're friends with? The number of likes you get? Followers you have? How much money you got in the bank? What is it for you? What gives you confidence? Think of what that is, and then go back to point number two and fast from it. God empowers us to be confident. It says in Isaiah 55, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. You notice that only comes after he talks about coming and feasting and then doing away with the evil in your life? Then God says, I will send you out in joy. You'll be joyful people after you've done those things. You'll be led forth in peace after you've done those things. Do you feel joyful this morning? Yes. Joyful doesn't mean happy, by the way. Right. Amen? Let's get that out of the way real quick. Right. You could not be happy, but still be joyful.
Right.
Are you at peace? Some of us want the peace and the joy without the fasting and the feasting portions. We can only become strong and courageous when we become completely dependent on God. You cannot completely feast in God's kingdom without fasting a little bit too. And you cannot completely fast and abandon your sin unless you feast a little bit too. You with me? Turn with me to John 14:6. We'll end here. Jesus answers, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way to God's heavenly feast.
Yeah.
You can't just fast and not feast. You can't just feast and not fast. You got to do it all in the name of Jesus. Amen? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, wow. We just come before you, God. We're grateful that you've set such a table before us, God. Harry Potter has nothing on the feast you can offer, Father. Forgive me of my humanness and worldliness with that comparison. Help us to understand that you have food that we know nothing about.
Right.
And help us to continually pursue you, pursue that spiritual nourishment, God. God, I pray that we can be honest and vulnerable when it comes to whatever the sin is, whatever that Twinkie is, God. That we can let that go as we experience your goodness, Father. God, help us to be mindful of the people around us. Whether they've been Christian for a million years or whether they don't know anything about you, God, help us to set a place for people next to us. God, give us your heart of compassion. Give us your heart of wisdom, of grace, of mercy, of love. God, we know that as we do those things, you empower us. You give us boldness and courage and strength that we can't even begin to imagine and that the world can't even comprehend. The world thinks it's weak. The world thinks it's lowly. But God, you say that's the way to go. We know that it's all through Jesus, Father. We come before you this morning in his name and we say thank you. And it's in his name we pray to you. Amen.